That's Ferris.
That's me?
Yes, you're on your phone, Ferris. Of course it's you.
We all have headphones except for you.
It's okay. All right. They're in my backpack. All right.
We're live now, Ferris. Get on.
I go get them.
Yes, go get them, please.
Okay, I'll go get them.
All right, we're dusting this mic off. We are live. Ring Kings podcast is back. Look, we took a break, y'all. We're sorry. All right. Like Mikey says, life be lifing. All right. There's a lot going on for all three of us. Well, four of us now, because Ferris has become a regular on the show. To get together to give you some content, but trust and believe, we have a lot of content in store for you guys. So don't go anywhere. Look, Sugar's already here. Bazell's already here. What's going on? Thanks for coming through, Bazell. Appreciate it. Shug says, so BS on this card. I thought, oh no, it was okay. That
he's talking about the Lubin fight.
Yes, that was some BS.
Well, more specifically, he's talking about what the Lubin fight did to his parlay.
Oh, I see. So, I see. Yeah. I see. He is very angry.
Got robbed. He got robbed.
Yes, he said. Also, I did say Charlo was going to get waxed. The fight was more of the spray wax at the car wash. Yes, look. Canelo Alvarez looked good. Listen, you guys picked Canelo by decision. I picked Charlo by decision. But Canelo, he looked better than I've seen him look in a couple years.
Right? Yeah, we had talked about it on here before, and I said that, you know, maybe he lost a bit. Like, maybe he wasn't declined because, you know, I mean, he got beat 12-0 against B-Wall, unless you look at the cards. and then, you know, he didn't look great against Triple G. He looked fine against Triple G. And then he kind of looked pretty lackluster against John Ryder as well.
Yes.
And we said, you know, maybe it's either he's in decline or he was just, you know, particularly with Ryder, feeling a little bit arrogant and not needing to put out his best performance. But look, Canelo said after the B-Wall fight.
Good.
That goddamn bro.
Sorry.
That he said there's a private chat. He said after the B-Wall fight that he'd been dealing with injuries and he just needed time out to get healthy. And apparently that was correct because he looked great tonight.
Mm. Yeah, he looked good. You know, and Charlo, listen, you know, I'm a little disappointed, but I'm not that disappointed, right? He's moving up two weight classes. He's finding somebody that's just naturally stronger, right? That's used to fighting at a heavier weight class, and he didn't want to take any chances out there. He had some moments in the fight, right, where he was sharp, but you could tell, like, he just didn't want to mix it up with them at any point. Derek James is trying to tell him, like, look, man, you gotta let your hands go, and he just kind of played it safe, right? And I get it. You know, like, it's one thing to say, hey, you got to go in there, you got to throw hands with somebody, but then you go in there and you feel that power. Like Don Luisito says right here, Mexican power. Yeah. Once you feel that Mexican power, you know, you don't really want it like that.
So, I don't know if they put microphones in Canelo's gloves, man, but those shots sound hard.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Credit to Charlo for standing up for 12 rounds for the most part. I mean, he took a knee at one point, but
so how do you feel about that knee? Because, you know, I was like, okay, well, he's hurt, you know, he's gonna take a knee, but then he came out in the next round. I thought he took a worse shot, that left hook. He didn't see it coming, but he didn't flinch on that one.
I think he made a business decision right there. I think if he just stood there, you know, it was gonna get ugly
from that point.
Yeah, so I think he did it. He didn't look like, you know, he took a shot, but he didn't look like he was wobbled or anything. But it was one of those moves where it's like, you know what? Let me go ahead and take this knee.
He took that shot, and then he also took the uppercut when he tried to duck down.
It was gonna get worse from that. So I think he, you know, kind of took, you know, business decision. Let me get out of here, but. Look, I had Canelo winning the fight. I picked him to win the fight. because I knew, you know, that Charlo would have to fight, and with any fighter, you have to almost fight a perfect fight to beat Canelo, right? For numerous reasons, right? We mm-hmm. you know, we speak on that before, but you know, so he had to fight a perfect fight, and you know, I would have liked to see, you know, I was probably rooting for Charlo, but Canelo is a tough task. He looked really, really good tonight. He looked to be in shape. You know, he looked a little winded at times, but then, you know, he was still stalking. So, you know, he still was cutting off the ring. You know, usually when he's winded, he kind of gets flat-footed. He stands there. He wasn't doing that tonight. So, you know, Canelo looked good. And like he said tonight, you know, that Canelo is hard. It's going to be hard for anybody to beat. So, salute to Saul.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out to Jasmine coming through. Says, what round? What round? What,
seven.
Jasmine?
Seven.
Yeah, he went down in the seventh.
Oh, right, he went down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the fight went mm-hmm. 12. Answer Will G's question real quick. No, did not agree with the card in the Erickson Lubin fight. That card was preposterous.
And shout out to Chris White for the donation. Says, Mel out here collecting checks.
How much? Yeah, pretty much.
I think fair to say that.
Well, go ahead. What are your thoughts, Ferris? What are your thoughts?
I think, you know, like every fighter, he was like, came to this fight, so I'm like, hey, I could win. If I catch him, I could win. And then the bell rang. He said, you know what? No, I'm cool. I'm just going to survive. Because his thing you're going up 14 pounds. I always make a big deal, like, how do you obtain the extra 14 pounds? You know, like I always use John Jones as the example. John Jones, for most of his career, decides to fight at 205. He looked good at 205. He looked for 205. It was fine. He made the decision to go to heavyweight. His first fight at heavyweight was 3 years after he left light heavyweight. It took him 3 years to do proper weight training, to gain that weight, to like, because like there's a 265 limit in UFC. So I thought, oh, he's going to get like 240, you know, 245. That's cool. John Jones came into that fight against Cyril Gane at 265 because he wanted the max weight on his body, and he trained himself. A year to get 14 pounds on your body? Could you do it? Possibly. I don't think he did it properly because he looked kind of slow at the beginning. Like before he like made like you know, like Rodney said, the business decision when he got dropped, like he kind of like felt he didn't get dropped. I think he just felt his knee and was just like thinking like, you know what, it's round seven, I got five more of this, you know what, let me just survive for the check, and then I got like three fights I can do at 154. I got Crawford, I got Zoo, I got the winner of the Zoo and whoever fight, I got those two. You know what? I'm good. But at the beginning, he looked slow. I mean, he looked slow to me. Either he wasn't processing fast enough, or he didn't want to fight. But he looked slow, and Canelo looked like the faster fighter.
This isn't the first time I've seen Charlo start off slow, right?
Yeah,
I'll say that. That's not the first time.
But yeah, Castano fights.
I don't think. I think it's a mixture, right? I want to say it was him collecting the check. I think he understood it was going to be a tall task, right? Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a fight his brother was supposed to be taking. And his brother is just, you know, I mean, he's trying to get his career back on track. I think he said, all right, I'll step in for him. And, you know, moving up to weight classes, I guess a guy that's naturally heavier and has fought heavier, he understood, like, hey, man, like, I gotta fight a perfect fight. Mm-hmm. And I can't get caught with anything. Like, this isn't the same as fighting at my weight class. I think he wanted to go in there and kind of feel what Canelo was, you know, was working with before he decided to mix it up. And, you know, he realized early on, nah, I can't get caught with anything. I think if he felt like, yeah, he doesn't have anything special, you know what I'm saying? I've been hit with worse. You would have seen a different Charlo. But yeah, you know, once he took that knee, he said, all right, look, my path to victory is to try to outbox him. But Canelo was too smooth for that, you know, and he's like, I'm not going to risk it because, you know, like I said, I'm still undisputed champion at 154.
Not anymore.
Like then, huh?
They stripped him of his title after the fight.
Yeah, well, either way, you know, he can still go back down there and
try to really matter
some things out. Yeah, but yeah, he's like, look, I'm not gonna go in and try and mix it up with some the guy that's just naturally stronger than me. It's not gonna work out. So, but look, man, I still give credit to Canelo, man. That's another great win to put on his resume.
Is he possibly the greatest super middleweight of all time?
Yeah, I have to look at the list.
Who is that super middleweight? I just realized.
But that's what I'm about to ask. That's fairly, when did super middleweight start? That's fairly new, isn't it?
I mean, you know, it's been around for a while, but yeah, it's not one of the original classes. But it's kind of one of the in-betweens. And you know, you don't really think of guys who just kind of stayed there and you know, dominated that weight class, I guess. So just off the top, not really anybody coming to mind, because I mean, people kind of pass through that division a bit.
Yeah,
to get a 175.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I know middleweight is Marvin Hagler.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you think about those guys? Yeah, that's middleweight. I don't think super middleweight was around at that time.
No, yeah. No.
And Suge is really showing that Mexican pride, although some might argue that he's not really Mexican.
Well, so he means some being his DNA. But I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to say that Jermell just got a check. Because like you're saying, I mean, if you're not in there kind of taking those shots, you know, I mean, he didn't want to throw as much because of what was coming back at him, right?
And, yeah.
You know, he was still... He was still throwing. He threw more than Canelo did. Yeah, he just wasn't. He didn't land as much as Canelo did, and he was very, very kind of tentative as far as when he would throw. Like when he let his hands go a little bit, he was able to land, and he did show his speed. You know, when he was throwing his combinations, but he wasn't consistent with it because again, you know, Canelo was landing those just vicious hooks to his body, you know, and beating up his shoulders like Canelo does, landing his right up top. And it's just, you know, he just kind of pressured him, and the pressure was a bit too much for Charlo. I mean, I think he was trying, but...
Does Canelo loop his hooks a little bit? You know, So, like, okay, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. Why hasn't boxers felt like, yeah, he loops with his hooks? Why doesn't, when he loops, I just come straight down the middle?
Because you can't hurt him.
Well, that's what Bivol did.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, like when Bivol is just bigger and stronger, and Canelo couldn't hurt Bivol, so it was whatever. Guys who are smaller, they can't hurt Canelo. So yeah, okay, I'll counter. I'll throw the straight, and then I'm still going to get hit with the hook, and then you're going to be mad, and you're going to hit me again, probably in the body, and I don't want that. So
I think this is actually something to look at in his next fight. He should be fighting. I think he's fighting David Benavidez next. He had a 2-fight deal.
He's got a 3-fight deal with UFC, but they haven't said who it's going to be.
Okay. Yeah, because Boo Boo and David are fighting each other.
Yes.
And it's assumed that the winner of that fight gets Canelo. It's assumed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you know how boxing fights go. I think we've all said this. We won't believe it until that bell goes ding, 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 and they roll up and punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, Canelo looks like an Irishman. He does.
He do, bro. Man. So, dude, when he first came on the scene, when I saw him, I'm like, oh, sweet, this dude Irish. I mean, he started speaking. I'm like, this motherfucker's fluent. Whoa, time out. Why did he just call homie amigo? I'm confused here. Like, whoa, what's going on? And then, like, and then I realized, like, where are he from? And they're like, oh, he's from Guadalajara. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And so that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
This is my problem. You know,
he's from the Mexican part of Ireland.
I agree with everything y'all are saying. It was a tall task, man, moving up weight. He said he was around 172, 173 this morning when he weighed himself. So that's a lot of weight for him. Yeah. But you know, he looked gun shy, and you know, to y'all point, right? But you know, he talked about daring to be great, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're daring to be great, like, you got to lay it on the line. And, yes. And look,
it's not just signing the contract.
It's a little more than that. I mean,
I agree, Mike. I agree. Like, you got to take those chances. And I think, yeah. And there, James, I have to go back and look. I thought I saw him at the end of the fight apologize to Derrick James.
He did. He did. Okay. Rome texted me and said, Mike, did you see that? He said, my bad, to Derrick James.
Because Derrick James trying to tell him, like, look, man, you got to let those hands go.
He's cussing him out.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man. I think the quote was, you're losing this fight. Let your hands go. Yeah. What are you doing?
Trying to get a Leon Edwards moment out of him.
Yeah. Come on, Leon. Bring fire. Like, hey, slap the shit out of him. We'll see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, if they were talking about this on the broadcast, like, how do you beat Canelo Alvarez? Like, oh, the people who have beaten Canelo Alvarez have just thrown everything at him. You know what I mean? They just throw regardless. They brought Floyd. I'm like, I think Floyd just like technically like scolded his ass when he was 23, and they always keep bringing up the Floyd fight. I'm like, bro, that's like 12 years ago.
Yeah, it's a different lifetime.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like, let's move on. But like, you bring up the Bivol fight. One, you know, Bivol had the size advantage. Canelo usually has a size advantage on mostly everybody. That's why I think the David Benavidez fight is kind of a little different, because that mother love is big. Like, he's taller than, I think he's like 6'4", I think. Mm-hmm. I think. And I think on, yeah, so they have the size advantage. And Bivol just kept throwing. He just kept throwing at him. It's like, you know, like, Jermell could have, like, I think Jermell got stung with one. It was like, hey, like, I can survive a couple of these, but I can't survive a lot of these. I gotta like, readjust the game plan on the fly. Because if he just threw everything and he gets caught a couple of times, you know, he's probably like, hey, man, he probably knocked me out. I can't throw the kitchen sink at
him. There are two ways. There are two things, right? If uh-huh. if you're faster than him, you know, you, I mean,
yeah, you got
you can, you know, he's there to be hit, uh-huh. And you know, you got to slip his punches, you know, that's, you know, that takes somebody with high skill, right? Because he can move, or you got to be willing to bang with him. Like, I think about the Triple G fights, you know, mine is the last one, you know, uh-huh. the first two, you know, Triple G was just like, nah, I'm gonna knock him out, actually. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and Canelo's the one, I think, you know, those are some of his best performances, because that's where he had to box, because he was in there with somebody that could knock him out.
Wanted to take his head off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to be willing, to bang with him.
The first one, the draw, they called that a draw, correct?
Yeah.
It was a draw, a win, and a win, correct?
Yes.
For Canelo?
Yeah.
But it's really a loss, a win, and a win, if we're really talking about it. I think he lost the first fight, but, you know.
Yes,
my opinion.
Yeah. I feel the same way, but it was a close fight. But yeah.
Crazy stat on the broadcast during the fight. They said this was his 24th world championship fight. Mm-hmm. This man has been in 24 championship fights. He has drew one and lost one. No, and lost two. That's crazy.
Yeah. So he said, how do you beat Canelo? Taint the meat.
That's
how Canelo wins.
That's how Canelo wins.
Hey, shout out to One Mike History, man. Salute to you, man. Make sure you go and subscribe to this brother, man. The best in Black history. Okay. We do Black History Facts on our other channel.
Hard disagree.
Listen, we listen.
Talk your shit, brother.
We give little snippets of Black History Facts. We give little snippets of Black History Facts on our other channel, Let's Break Hot Take, during our live show. But you want the full course, go to One Mike History. All right. Mm-hmm. He says he got a great paycheck, talking about Charlo, I'm presuming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Real nice paycheck, yeah.
Real nice. You know, I wish we'd have worked just a little bit harder, you know, but like I said, we're not in the ring. But I'm with you though, Mikey. Like, if you say you're gonna dare to be great, man, this is
you gotta let it go.
You gotta let it go.
I agree. Yeah. You gotta let it go.
Look, that carrying that amount of weight too. Like, I mean, some of the shots, like, he was missing bad. Like, You know what I mean? Like, he was missing bad. So it was like, you know, was he slow? You know, what was it? But like, yeah, man. Look, you got to get in there. You got to slug. If that's what it's going to take. He was cutting off the ring. So you had to do something to back him up. If you weren't going to jab, then you got to do something to back him up. You know, it appeared that his, you know, and again, we know Canelo has a chin of steel. So, you know, it's not easy to hurt him. But, you know, it appeared that Charlo's power didn't translate either. And we see that happen all the time when these guys move up the weight. Mm-hmm. So it was a tall task, but I would have liked to see him take a little bit more chances in there. To see what he could have done. Canelo wasn't, you know, he did nothing to scare Canelo at all.
Uh-huh.
Canelo walked him down the entire fight. You know, he cut the Frank ring off, walked him down, and, you know, Charlo, to me, fought not to get knocked out. You know, he didn't fight to win. He just fought like, man, I got to last these 12 rounds. So,
and this is the thing that he really, because, you know, I didn't expect his power to really translate to 168, even if it did. He doesn't have the kind of power that would have really bothered Canelo. So he needed to just throw a lot more. And you know, like I said, Canelo was cutting off the ring, trying to pin him in the corner on the ropes, and he needed to flurry and get out. And he needed to stay on the move and outbox Canelo all night. And I thought that's the route he was going to go. And it would have been a much closer fight that way. But he let himself get trapped. You know, and he let Canelo start going to the body, let him load up on those hooks. I mean, there were times where he stuck out his left hand to hold him in place so he could throw his hooks.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the ref corner. Like, I don't know if that's legal, but all right, he's gonna roll.
Is that legal?
No, you can't hold somebody in place and hit them. No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is it like frowned upon or illegal? No,
it's not. It's illegal.
You can't do that.
Okay,
I forgot. What's the term for that?
There's
a term for that, but yeah,
holding.
It's not holding. It's like pawing. It's something. It's something like that. But
yeah, because the ref kept saying, "Stop doing this." Yeah, like, stop. Yeah. He's like, so. But I'm like, I don't know. What does this mean? Like, I was just confused. I was like, how? Like you know, like in a fight, you know, you're like holding somebody, and, like. Like you can't. I don't know why can't you do that? Like, tell it is a struggle. By the way,
that makes it a street fight when you can hold somebody
not,
and
yeah, because it's not MMA.
Yeah.
Well, but, Mike says Crawford tweeted out Charlo went outside and didn't try to win. I see no lies there.
Yeah,
hop in the ring with Charlo then, Terrence.
Yep. He's trying to.
Yeah, that's
after that's the fight. After the fight, man, Jim Gray asked him like. Is your next fight the winner of the Tim Zoo whatever fight? And he's like, man, I don't really care, man. You know what? I'll whoop Terrence Crawford's ass. Well, I know he here. I'll fight him. I'm gonna go back in the gym and I'll fight him. I'm like, he's like, do your little thing with Errol and then I'll fight you. And I was like, I don't think you want to do that because Terrence Crawford's a psychopath.
And I think you know, and I hope it. I mean, you know, for the sport. I'm gonna watch it, but you know there's these rumbles of Crawford moving up next to fight him. I don't know if I want to see that either, but
right, Canelo,
you know, yeah,
Canelo too big. You don't want
that. Nah, thank you.
I would love to see Crawford fight Charlo, but he has no business being in the ring with Canelo.
I think Crawford is
he's crazy.
I think that check is right. He you know
he's. Well, he's a legitimate insane person. Like I think that man is legitimately batshit crazy.
Yeah,
I think that man is like, hey man, you want to fight Eli Usyk? Crawford would be like, hell yeah, I do. Like, all right, whoa, but huh? What?
Yeah,
I'll fight him. Like, no, I'm not, because I keep going back to that to the first time I ever saw Terrence Crawford, ESPN just bought Top Rank's boxing rights, and the big first fight they ever did was. Crawford against Jose Benavidez Jr. in Omaha. And Mark Krieger does this profile on Terrence and his mother. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, yeah, that man is not a normal person because he was raised by that woman. And that woman Let's just say she's something else.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. And you raised him. That woman raised that man. And I think the crazy thing was like, why do you fight? And he says, because I want my mother to say I love you. And then Krieger asks, like, will you ever say I love you? She's like, nope. Never. Yeah. And I'm like,
my dad's
Arab. And he says, I love me. You know what I mean? So like,
I don't buy too much into that stuff, man. People, they drum that stuff on TV. Everybody has to have a chip on the shoulder. Everybody got to have it rough. And listen, can you box or not? You know what I'm saying?
Is it the Mike Jordan syndrome?
Yeah. Everybody takes it personal.
He had to make up a foe against the team. Yeah.
The Wizards.
You don't need all that.
You also shot himself in the head and survived. So like, I don't know, man. Some off of that dude.
Yeah, but let me.
I'm a big fan. He scares me. I'm a big fan.
Let me run this by y'all because I was thinking this as I was watching the fight. I actually said this to Rome. Like, is the Derrick James, you know, that being the best stable in boxing, is that over?
It's over.
They look bad. You know, the last two fights, right? Real bad. So is that run over? And it was a damn good run. But it just appears that, you know, that might be that.
I don't think it's over. I don't think it's over. Because at 154, I don't think anybody's beating Charla.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends on what Spence looks like in the rematch. If they end up fighting at 154, because again, he wasn't right in that fight.
Right, I don't think he'll beat Crawford at 154. I think it'll be a much
better. But about how he looks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he looked like a bum at 147.
And Charles goes back down. So Charles had mentioned, you know, there's going to be a shift. So Errol goes up to 154. I'm assuming Charlo moves up from there, right?
160.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his twin brother does his twin brother go to 168?
Yeah, I think so.
His twin brother ain't going nowhere and ain't doing
that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, that's why I think I'm with Mike, because I'm like, all right, man. So like, your big fish looked like he didn't belong in the ring against his biggest adversary. Mm-hmm. It was like it was not a contest. One of the twins had won a belt, had it stripped due to 2 years of inactivity, and now he can't fight because of, I believe the report was a custody battle. I don't know for a fact. Don't quote me.
It's not a stuff going on. They're not putting it out there.
And then the other twin was amazing at 154. So it depends on the rebound of Spence.
Yeah. So I mean, okay, we're saying is it over because he had some of the best fighters out there. Still has some of the best fighters out there, right? I mean, Errol Spence got whooped. That's fine. He's still one of the best fighters.
That's true. There,
right? But compared to other stables, what other trainer would you put up there next to Derrick James?
Sugar Hill Stewart. That's pretty much it. Sure, it's a good point. I don't know who's his fighter. Who's out of the prompt?
I don't know who you would put up against him. Like I think he held the crown solidly for a year.
He's also he's also like one of the only trainers who has like three top tier fighters. Every other trainer has like one fighter.
That's the point I was gonna make, because I know a lot of Bud fans would say, you know, Bud's trainer,
Bo Mack,
right? Mm-hmm. Who are his other fighters though?
Just him. It's just him.
Right. Right.
Bo Mack got some other he got a cat that just won a champ, just won a belt too recently, I think.
Over in the UK. That's why he got arrested.
Right, that's
over.
How he got locked up. Right. Yeah.
Reynoso lost Garcia and Ruiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just has Canelo again.
So I say this is why I say it, Jose. And this is why I pose a question. You know, I don't think if you do pound for pound, right, and then you look at names, champions, you know, championships, belts, you know, I think top to bottom, Derrick James has the biggest names if you as a collective, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, that's true.
But if you look, right, yeah. You know, some would say that, you know, two of his bigger fighters, Spence and now Jermell, you know, they didn't look, not that it's not only they lost, right? Because it's boxing, right? You lose. Sometimes you lose. But they just didn't look prepared either. You know what I mean? So it wasn't great efforts out of either of them. So it's like, you know, I couldn't help but think and wonder if, like, and then it's some disarray, right? Because the twins, they aren't really talking. They I guess they kind of talked a little bit today. He showed up, you know,
and they're not listening. They're not listening in fight. There's no in fight adjustment.
It looks like they aren't prepared. They didn't look prepared in these last two fights. So, you know, I wonder if, you know, that if we'll start hearing that, you know, and it was rumors, right? Even though Derek James kind of clipped those rumors, but there was rumors out there that Spence was going to move on. He clipped that. He said that's not true. He was at my house. He was just at my house yesterday or whatever. So,
I have some feelings about their preparedness. I agree with you. They weren't prepared. But Fat Boy Kai, thanks for coming through. Appreciate it, man. He says Bo Mac got Keyshawn Davis. We all like Keyshawn Davis a lot. In fact, we did one of our watch list videos was on Keyshawn Davis, but he hasn't done enough in the sport to be put up there with any of these guys. Mm-hmm. All right. He's very young. He's starting out, but a lot of promise there, but that's not comparable right now. Not right now. But yeah, he trains multiple mainstream fighters. Yes, and that's what Mike is saying right here. He trains Joshua, Spence, Charlo, and Ryan Garcia.
Ryan Garcia, yeah.
But yes, you know, how they prepare for the fight, I think both fighters, obviously Charlo's just out of his weight class, right? Like he was too gun shy, right? You know he's, you're going up heavier. You know you're fighting somebody that's a heavy puncher, and you're just not willing to go out there and do what you need to do, right? Okay. Spence, nobody wants to say it, right? Because you don't want to take credit away from Bud Crawford. He clearly didn't look right. He looked like he was drained. He looked sickly. You know what I'm saying? You know, what's going on with that? Everybody's being quiet about it. That's why everybody feels differently if this fight happens at 154. Everybody thinks 154, not saying, you know, he's going to win, but they just don't feel like it's going to look like it did in that last fight. So, you know, how much of it was on Derek James for not, you know, getting them prepared, you know, skill-wise, and how much of that is on, you know, the nutritionists and things like that, people that are supposed to be taking care of the actual weight? Don't know.
Yeah. Interesting, man, is to see, like, you know, they went from, I mean, they were on the top at one point, right? They, you know, it was a stable that you didn't want to mess with. I mean, and like, you know, what Mike pointed out, you know, it's you got world-class fighters there. But I think, you know, I wonder how much of this will fall on him, you know, if, you know, it's one thing to go out there and they looked and put in a great effort, but, you know, the two fights that we've seen, I'm wondering how much of that falls on or will fall on Derek James, you know what I mean? And whether it's on him or not, how much of that, will people put that or blame him for what happened in these last two fights?
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie Shields. Who's Ronnie Shields training right now? He was training Jermall,
David Morrell, Hrgović, Rigondeaux.
Wait, he isn't training Jermall anymore.
I'm just looking at this list on the site that has fighters associated with the trainers. They have Jermall on there still.
But Jermall is with Roy Jones now. And he was being trained by Derek James too. I think, right. He went from Shields to Derek James to Roy Jones, I think.
So that
was, but yes, excellent trainer though. Yes, excellent trainer, Bat Boy.
The thing is, it's not, you know, no other trainer has the pedigree of fighters that James has now.
Currently, yes.
The thing is, they've all been in, you know, pretty high profile losses recently, but no other trainer has that many high profile fights.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this Jermell Charlo loss doesn't really change my opinion of Charlo or James. I mean, like you said, he was it was a kind of an outside of the norm kind of a fight. You know, yeah, it was like he said, it's a dare to be great thing. Like you know, he jumped up two weight classes. Let's see what happens. Okay, lost. Going to go back down to 154 and kind of resume as normal. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody here is picking Tim Zhu to beat him at 154 or anybody else right now. No. You know, Anthony Joshua, nobody ever really thought Anthony Joshua was the best fighter. But you know, he's a good fighter and he performed very well in those Usyk fights. He just, you know, he lost to a better fighter. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that you know, it's over for them. He still has the best crew of fighters at this point, or stable, I guess.
Yeah. So, all right. Hit that like button if you're new in here. Hit that subscribe button. We've been away for a while. We are dusting off our microphones, so to speak. All right, getting back in the swing of things. Our last live stream was actually, speaking of Derek James, it was Spencer Crawford.
Yeah,
it was Spencer Crawford. All right, and just. A series of life events happened to keep us from recording, but we are back and we'll be putting out a lot more content. There's a whole lot going on in the boxing world that we need to talk about. We still haven't done our pound for pound list, which was supposed to happen in July. That's how far back we are. I mean, the next quarter is coming up, so we might as well just go ahead and just get to that.
Wait for the next quarter.
Yeah.
y'all gonna have to resubmit.
Yes, yeah. Definitely got to resubmit some the names. This.
What's the next big fight?
Well, Fury and Usyk are coming up.
Allegedly, Francis Ngannou said he don't know how that fight can go on, considering what's going to happen to Fury in October.
In the exhibition, isn't that an exhibition fight?
He said he don't know how what the minimum suspension is in boxing, but he don't know how he's going to fight in December, considering what's about to happen now.
Right. So that should be the next big fight. I'm glad this fight happened though, man. Like I said, I don't think Jermell completely mailed it in. I think he picked his moments to where, you know, he tried to, you know, put it on him and didn't really work out that way. He wasn't going to stand in there and make it a bloodbath with him. Right. Although I feel like if he did, you know, he would have had it'd have been a much closer fight. He would have had a much better chance, you know.
I think if he tried to do that, he would have got knocked out.
He took shots tonight.
He did. And he also took a knee tonight.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he didn't get Canelo to step back except for maybe
a couple
once.
Times.
Once in the fight, he kind of backed off. And I think that was more out of shock that he threw four consecutive punches than anything else. But if he just stood in there and tried to bang with Canelo, he would have been going to sleep.
Yeah. not the ideal fight for him. But again, he's playing with house money. No, like he really has nothing to lose.
And let's be fair, right? I'm being critical of him, you know, saying he wanted to dare to be great. Right. And I would have liked to see him, you know, give a little more effort. But let's be fair. Right. We kind of gave Canelo a pass with the Bivol fight. Right. Like he lost that fight and people were just like, I mean, well, he was out of his weight class. So, yeah. You know, don't count in a sense. Right. So, you know, I guess you kind of got to give, you know, Mel that same respect, I guess, in this regard.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care that he lost this fight, and it was a closer fight than the one Canelo lost that you're talking about. So I mean, it's whatever.
Now
go back to 154, and I wanted to see the Zhu fight. So go make that happen.
Look, I feel that way, but I'm still giving Canelo a lot of credit.
Like you know what I'm saying.
I don't want to take anything away from Canelo because you know, like I said, I picked Charlo to win. You know, because skill wise, I mean, he's that dude. But Canelo won. Like that's all of it too. I won't put no caveats on it. Same thing with Bivol. Bivol won. Not only did Bivol beat Canelo, he beat the brakes off of Canelo. Not only did he beat the brakes off of Canelo, he said, "I'll beat you again at that weight class. I'll come down to you." Right? And Canelo's like, "No, I don't want to do that."
Yeah. And I say that, and I'm glad you said that, Jose, because it's gonna be somebody in the comments saying that we're hating. Or I'm hating or whatever. No, I'm not. I didn't say that to take anything away from Canelo. He looked great to me. No. He looked great. He looked better than, like Brodney said earlier, he looked better than we've seen him in the last couple of fights. So I don't want to take anything away. I'm saying it more so that this shouldn't really be the end of Jermell Charlo's career because he lost in this fight.
Correct. We shouldn't be wondering if he's going to retire now.
Right. Or if he can bounce back, like, you know, this is he moved up and, you know, he lost. Now he can go back home and take care of home.
And he feels that way, too. That's why he apologized to Dad James. He's like, look, I know I didn't give it my I didn't put everything out on, you know, on the line out there tonight. I'm sorry, you know, but I'll make it up to
you. Canelo did when he went up to 175.
You think he put everything on the line?
No, I'm saying like he just did what, you know, like Canelo went up to 175 wanting to be great. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he could win. And he's like, yeah, you know, I think, you know, beating Sergey Kovalev gave Canelo a sense of false security at 175. Yeah. That's why I was talking, because I was like, you beat Sergey Kovalev. That man was a depleted 175. That man should have been fighting at heavyweight at that point of his career, but he couldn't because, you know, at cruiserweight, but he didn't want to because he didn't want to face bigger fighters, so he killed himself to make 175. So if you fought a dehydrated, decrepit Sergey Kovalev after Andre Ward took his soul, you know, that one means nothing to me. And then you picked Bivol because you assume that Artur Beterbiev was the better light heavyweight. So you're like, I'm gonna stay away from Buffet Blinken and I'm gonna fight this random dude.
I don't think that's.
I think they offered him
a pair of fights, two separate things. It was Bivol and Triple G, or Charlo and Benavidez, and he chose Bivol and Triple G. It wasn't like he targeted Bivol.
You know, not doesn't fit my agenda. I'm not gonna that doesn't fit. I'm sorry, I don't understand. You know, no comprende English over here.
Right here, Bobby, what's going on? Says can't wait till the face of boxing Tank fight again. Tank is not the face of boxing. Canelo still has something to say about that.
You saw the face tonight.
The face, the face I is selling.
He might be the second face.
He's third. It's Canelo and Fury. The big guys sell more than the little guys.
I don't know. Does he outsell Tank? I don't know if he does.
No, Fury. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but I thought I read that he doesn't quite outsell Tank. I could be wrong. I don't know. He's very
popular. I mean, can we Tyson Fury is not, I don't care for his personality. He's not. He annoys the shit out of me. I don't know why. I don't care. I think that man is mad corny. He's annoying. And because he tried to, you know, I don't want to get into it. I'm sorry. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go there, but
either way, Canelo is the highest selling. He's the highest selling boxer. Yeah.
And numbers say that Fury and Wilder, the second one, did 1.2 million.
Oh, shit.
What about Tank and Garcia did?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's. Damn. Yeah. What the third fight do?
They're
close. I just think when he did that, Rocky IV, Apollo Creed entrance, I'm like, what the corny ass mother. I won't use other words, but
that's why he said DAZN wasn't releasing the numbers for Canelo. We have numbers for Canelo, and he's not with DAZN
before.
Anymore.
Yeah, before DAZN, we have numbers before DAZN, and then we have numbers prior to the 10 fight deal. Like, the numbers are out there. You know, you can just keep growing and growing and growing. And, you know, in our boxing is very nationalistic. The Mexicans always showed up for Canelo because it was either him or it was him and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And they, no one likes Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., not even his own father. So, you know, like, and your own dad is like, that's my son.
He might like him. I don't think so.
He loves him.
He doesn't like him. I think he likes him, dog. He's like, I love you, son. I don't like you at all.
I don't like you, though. I have to love you because your mother is here. I don't like you.
I don't think that's true either, because I mean, he was very, very open about wishing Canelo with his son at his event.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think buddy. He probably doesn't love or like him. Period.
Especially if he took that L to Silva.
That was a great event. That
old timers event. Yeah,
Chavez versus Camacho Jr.
Is it Camacho? Yeah,
it's Camacho Jr. And Canelo jumped in the ring like the WWE to be a ref or a trainer or whatever he was.
Yeah, that he was just funny. He was an entourage. And then Julio Cesar Chavez is like, I want this man to be my son. This is my son.
He didn't say that.
This is my agenda.
But he said it without saying it, though.
Yeah, he did. And his son was standing on the ropes.
He didn't call Julio into the ring.
No, he didn't. No. He told Julio to stay his ass on the apron.
Well, Julio lost to he got beat by Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
early that night.
That's what I'm saying. Like he was ashamed.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's like, get out of my face.
All right, so, good, great win for Canelo. He looked much, much better than he has in a while, man. Happy for him. So, what's next? We know he's got a 3-fight deal. Yeah, 3-fight deal with PBC. Yeah. Got 2 more fights. Mm-hmm. So, is it the winner of Benavidez and Andrade?
I think so.
Okay, let's assume he wins either one of those fights. Who will be the third fight? Because if Beeble. He loses, I'm assuming it's going to be a rematch. Beeble?
I think Beeble. That's the only one. Like, who else? Like, after
I
you...
I don't think they get... They can't get that fight done. Bevo is the guy that's like, you know, he's a guy that you can't sway with money. He don't care about the money. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you could probably throw a shit ton of money at him.
I don't believe that, Mike. I don't believe that.
Money I talks. Mean, he could have got a money shit ton talks. Of money for this a rematch, but they didn't want to meet his terms, so he was like, nah. He could have got a hell of a lot of money to rematch Canelo. I think that ship has sailed.
Because I think Canelo wanted to like get some contract. You know, it's like what Sugar Ray Leonard did with Marvin Hagler, right? Hagler was so obsessed with just beating the living snot out of Sugar Ray because he was annoying him, right? So he forgot to negotiate the fight deals where. You know, most Marvin Hagler fights were 15 rounds. Sugar Ray negotiated down to 12 because he knew the last 3 rounds of every Hagler fight is when Hagler took people's heads off. So, like, if you bring it down to 12, I have a chance. They shrunk the ring against Hagler. And then, Sugar Ray, and then the famous controversial fight, did Sugar Ray win? Did he lose? Whatever. And I think, you know, Canelo tried to do that with Beeble, possibly, the old boxing trick. And Beeble was like, I'm familiar with your game. No.
Yeah.
I think theory, not true. No, theory. No. You're saying.
I think it was a little bit of that, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was a ton of money on the table, and that didn't move him at all. Bevo's not PBC, is he?
No.
He was a top rank at one point. I don't know who he's with now.
I think he's with Matchroom. I think he's Matchroom now.
Natural
with Eddie Hearn. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I think
we see Canelo, the winner of Benavidez and
Andrade.
Yeah, Andrade. And then I think he fights Big Charlo.
I think that they try to really pump up a fight with Crawford.
I think that happens too. I think that happens.
That would be, it would be tons of money.
That would be a lot of money.
So I think that's what they try to get, you know, for that third and final fight.
See, my thing is, I just see them as like, so like, Canelo fought at Terrence's weight at like 22. You know what I mean? Terrence was 30, almost 38 at 147. I just don't think you're young enough to keep maturing your body to a point where you get to 160. I think he's almost 40. I think 154 is like it.
So I think that's it. So I want to bring up these two. I want to pick on you guys, right? Heeb and Chris, right? He says anywhere Tank fights, he sells out. He's breaking records. Listen, we all love Tank here, okay? And Chris White says, he says Tank's going to do at least 350 no matter what. Listen, and that's great for Tank. Canelo does double that. All right.
Yeah.
Like, Canelo, I mean, his last fight with John Ryder, that was one of his lowest fights. That's estimated about 400,000, right? And nobody knows.
He's over five.
Okay. And this list I'm looking at says estimated about 400,000. Golovkin 2 550, Bivol 520. These are the low ones. Caleb Plant, which was on Showtime, that was 800,000. Golovkin 2, 1.1 million. Golovkin 1, 1.3 million. Cesar Chavez Jr., 1 million.
There it is.
Right? Miguel Cotto, 900,000. Yep. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather, I mean, that's, you know, it's Floyd, 2.2 million.
Yep.
But, I mean, he's had some huge, huge fights. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is the face of boxing. He's been doing it longer. You know, but you know, and he's got the Mexican crowd behind him, man. Like that's the face of boxing right now. He still is, but Tank is definitely in the conversation.
Yeah,
right. If you're talking about Devin Haney and all them, I see you talking about Devin Haney. Haney's not. No,
he said he hopes that he does at least 150 in that next fight.
Shit ain't happening.
And it's bad because we're like, I don't know.
Right.
It's not. Because no offense, like, to Regis Pugres, who the hell are you? No, I know Jose. You know him. I know him. Rodney, Mike know him. We know him. We'll be a part of that 1,000, oh, 100,000. I was going to say 1,000. That's disrespectful. No, that Jose, I'm trying to keep the veneer, Jose. Yeah. We will be a part of that. But, you know, my mama ain't. My brother don't care, you know. Like, the people you want to buy your fights don't give a damn about Regis. They can't even say his name. You know what I mean? No offense to you, Regis. I apologize. But yeah, like, 150,000 is that's generous.
Will G has a good question here. You know, we didn't even get to the other two fights on the card. Will G says, "Did you guys agree with Ref and Doctor?" Not stop the fight in the Ugas.
That should have been stopped.
Your Dennis Ugas is a guy you're talking about. Yeah. They should have stopped it. Your Dennis Ugas, his last fight was against Errol Spence. Same thing happened in that fight. And
they're saying he couldn't open his eye for 40 hours after the fight.
Yeah,
he had to have this incredibly long layoff because of that injury. And it was the same thing happening again. And he didn't really have any shot of winning that fight.
No, he didn't.
Not realistically.
And honestly, I think they're looking at it like this should be it for him. Because it should be. He's had a long, fulfilling career.
Almost 40?
Huh?
30.
You almost 40? 40.
I don't know. But he's done. Right. He should not continue to fight. But I mean, listen, you've had a great career. You made some money, you know, you got it.
I wouldn't even say he's done. He's just done being a top fighter. He didn't look bad in the fight tonight. It's just, you know.
Nah, stop. Stop. Quit while you're ahead.
Just walk away before you get really hurt.
Before you lose your eye.
You're a former champion. You know, people in boxing circles are going to remember you. You got a badass wife. You know what I'm saying?
Enjoy. Really?
Yeah.
Him?
Yeah.
Why you gotta say it like that?
I'm sorry, man. That motherfucker looking like an alien. What do you want from me? You know what I mean?
You watched him after a dude punched him in the face for 12
rounds. Listen, once the swelling goes down, he gonna look like a mob.
I'm sure he cleans up real nice.
I'm just saying, him having a bad wife means two things, man. You packing somewhere else, or he got a bunch of money. You know what I mean? Yeah,
we're gonna go ahead and hit that mute for a minute. This version of the Barrios doesn't beat Tank.
Nah.
Good win for Mario Barrios, though. He needed a signature win.
Yeah, shout out to Mario Barrios.
He had two questions.
Is she Cuban?
Now, what's gonna happen to him?
Bro, listen. Go to Google if you need.
Now, unfortunately, what happens to Barrios is he'll
face your fault for bringing it up. He'll
face a Thurman or Bootsiness, and then
he already fought Thurman
already. He did. Yeah. Well, he'll fight Boots, and then
that's Barrios is in that space where he's a good fighter, right? Good solid fighter, but he is not on
that level.
Yes. Level. When you talk about this level to this, that's what we're talking about.
That's not nice, Ali.
Huh?
What do you
say? He said that dude's face looks like he was in a Rocky movie after Fight Clipper Lane. Boots, he's not gonna fight Boots. Boots is looking to really establish himself.
Wants a payday fight.
Yeah, that's not gonna do it for him.
Yeah,
you know who Mario Barrios is gonna fight? He's gonna fight the winner of Stanionis and Ortiz while they're waiting around trying to get a fight with either Ennis or Crawford or you know, while they're in kind of a holding pattern, they'll fight and beat Barrios.
Is that the fight that's been canceled like three times because Ortiz something always happens to him, like some crazy shit that always happens, like a collapsed gallbladder or like an eye poke or like.
Something.
A staph infection or some shit like that.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah, man, that fight is cursed.
Yeah, it's not a good look. The other fight, Erickson Lubin versus Jesus Ramos.
Yeah.
How bad of a robbery was it? How bad was it?
That was one of the worst ones I've seen.
Won pretty easily and somehow ended up losing.
That was one of the worst ones I've seen.
I didn't watch it, but damn.
Because you see some fights, you're like, man, he got robbed, right? But you can watch somebody, you know, so people can talk you into, well, it was closer than you think or whatever, right? You go back and watch the fight, like, all right, I can see some of these rounds they gave, whatever. Not this fight.
You can tell it was that bad because he wasn't even mad after they read the judge's scorecards. He was like, it's so ludicrous. I can't even be angry right now.
No, you know how it was bad? You know what was bad? The announcers didn't say anything at first.
Well, they didn't.
They just got real quiet.
And the first thing that one of them said was, that has to be a mistake.
Well, you know what's funny? That's exactly
what Bernstein?
Listen, I'm not sure who it was. But when they said it, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I think they said the wrong name. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody was looking around like, wait, did they mean Ramos there? Like, they're waiting for a correction almost. You know, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. That was one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
Damn.
Yeah.
And there was another fight. It wasn't just the two. Elijah Garcia fought as well against what was his name? Resendiz. I'm not 100% sure that's how you pronounce it. But that was a very entertaining fight to open the card. Garcia, you know, not a whole lot of defense going on with Elijah Garcia tonight. But incredibly crisp and quick combinations. I mean, it was target practice on that other dude's face for the duration of that fight. And he was mixing up his combinations really, really well. But that one was pretty entertaining because they were just going back and forth right from the beginning.
So, hey man, are boxing cards now shifting more to like UFC cards where they kind of stack the cards with people you notice and like kind of like stack with like three or four cards that matter, fights that matter, but you still have the main event? No. Or is this still like the same old boxing cards where it's like all of these undercards suck? just stay for the minute.
It's shifting a little bit. It's not like the UFC, because you can't have main event type fighters on the undercard. You're just not going to do it. What they do is they'll get a fight like Barrios and Ugas, which is a good solid fight, but not a top tier fight, right? You'll try and get one of those, and then they'll put a bunch of prospects on the card.
But it's not like back in the 80s where, you know, when Sugar Ray Leonard beat Wilfred Benitez, his co-main event or like the undercard was a Marvin Hagler fight. It was like a middleweight championship fight. And you're like, whoa, Marvin Hagler in a co-main event, not the main event. So it's not like that. It's not shifting to that way.
So, gotcha. Well, look, Marvin Hagler, that wasn't a championship fight when he was an undercard back then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So when Ray Leonard fought Wilfred Benitez for that title, the co-main event was Hagler in a middleweight title fight. And the reason people kind of forget about it is that Hagler got robbed, like, viciously. Like, he beat the living snot out of this kid, and it was like a draw. And you're like, a draw? It's because, you know, they don't want to give this black dude from Massachusetts the title yet. And then he, you know, beat up this Irish dude so bad that they threw chairs in the ring once. That's when he won the title. It was what you should you really learn about this documentary called The Kings on Showtime.
Well, look, I'll say this, Ferris. I don't think it has changed that much. I think what you see is when PBC puts on a card, they're going to showcase their fighters. When they put on a card, they're going to show their fighters. And some of these fighters, you'll go back and look and be like, "Oh, he was an undercard," you know. You can see Jared Anderson on the undercard to a fight, and you know, it's not anybody that the casual fan is going to look at right now and think anything of. But if he turns into Mike Tyson down the road, right? You'll look back and be like, "Damn, he was on the undercard of Tyson Fury," you know.
My thing is that I was like, "Will we ever get to the point where it's like, you know?" When Top Rank had Crawford and Fury, right? But like, you know what, guys? I want to make a super card with you two on it.
No, that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
And boxing has never been about that. Boxing has never done super cards where it's like we're gonna have you know these championship fights. You know, like we're gonna have two championship fights. Yeah, one card. They don't do that. Like the closest thing that could happen is what Anthony Joshua kind of tease, you know, could happen for Fury and Usyk, although I don't know that's going to be the case. But he said, you know, Saudi Arabia is trying to get Fury and Usyk as a main event and Joshua Wilder
that would sell.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen either.
It's not gonna happen, but it would sell.
And that way, and those wouldn't even be for belts.
But I think the difference now is
too many cooks in the kitchen, too many slices of the pie.
Well, yeah, one, yes, boxing doesn't need a stat card like UFC to sell. That's why UFC does that. They can't sell on the strength of one fight. But I think the difference now is that boxing promoters do a much better job, generally speaking, of promoting their prospects than you know they used to, and of course better than UFC. And so you have more interesting fights just by virtue of, hey, I know who Keyshawn Davis is. I know who Xander Zayas is. You know, we know who Elijah Garcia is before they actually achieve anything. And, you know, they're sold as, hey, these are up and coming fighters. These are guys that you want to know. And so they're on all these cards and it makes the cards more interesting that way. I think they are more aware of putting together quality cards. It's just more difficult in boxing. Because you can't force people into taking fights and being on certain events like you do in UFC.
Did you know that there's this prospect named Nico Ali Walsh, who's the grandson of Muhammad Ali? Did you guys know this?
I did not know that.
You didn't know?
I heard he lost his last fight.
He should wear Muhammad's trunks confusion.
So we don't forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But USC, I mean, look, and we're USC fans, obviously. We're all MMA fans here. Mikey's a new MMA fan, but USC needs to do it that way, right? They don't sell like boxing does. You know, no. What are you? Who are you yelling at, Ferris?
I'm not yelling at nobody. I'm having a conversation with my coworker.
See you. We see the hand gestures. That was not a conversation.
No, man, it's just talking Arabic, man. It's a lot of hand gestures. You know, a lot of stuff. You know, it was actually a very normal conversation. It was, okay. we were just talking about a sign. That's it. I look angry when I'm doing it, right? I'm not denying it.
You was about to fire somebody again, aren't you?
No. And if somebody put a sign too high on the door, we couldn't close it. We had to rip the sign off.
You were reprimanding.
Ferris, would you agree that USC needs that model to sell?
Peak model, sorry.
Huh? I mean, like the co-main event model, like, hey, we're gonna have a championship fight before the championship fight, type of thing.
No, yeah, they need it because they suck at promoting their individual fighters. Like, no offense to like the boxers, John Jones should be a bigger star than most of the boxers boxing. Period. Because with the way the Jones is, John Jones is like his rise to being the man consisted of him destroying Hall of Famers,
not scrubs,
not randos, tomato cans that, you know, you see Ryan Garcia or Canelo Alvarez's records where they're like 25-0, and you're like, oh my God, Canelo's 25-0. That's because he fought like random barkeeps in Mexico named Julio, and he just, you know, it doesn't count. John Jones was out here choking out Lyoto Machida, kicking Shogun Hua in the face, elbowing Rashad Evans, cutting him open, manhandling Rampage Jackson, manhandling Daniel Cormier. And you're like, whoa, this dude is doing something that's crazy, because light heavyweight, there is a champion every year and a half. Literally. Like, you know, like currently how like there's a new champion like every 7 months? That's what it was.
Progression, because this is a boxing channel.
You're right. Good point. John Jones should be a massive star. The UFC didn't want to promote him, one, because he was erratic and he was a little crazy. But you know what? Boxers are erratic and crazy.
And he's black.
And they're still big. And I was going to get to that point. That was my main point. And he's black. He's black. The big stars in the UFC, the big stars in the UFC, Chuck Liddell, Conor McGregor, Forrest Griffin, GSP. What do they all have in common? They don't fight the same. They don't talk the same. They're all white men. But then when some black dude come around and destroys your marquee division, murks everybody. No. He's too crazy. I can't do it. You're making excuses not to promote him because fighters are generally insane people. You can promote crazy fighters. It's easy.
Yeah.
You know, you're willing to promote a racist. You're willing to promote a racist. Literally, a legitimate racist is in your welterweight division. And you're like, I'll promote this man. Because the way I'm going to promote him is, oh, you guys can come and watch him get his ass beat. Eager to promote him.
Yeah.
And you got another racist than Sean Strickland, who's now a champion. So,
and your guy who interviews them and, you know, calls all your fights. But whatever.
Yeah. and the excuse is like, oh, he's a comedian. Don't take him seriously. I don't take him seriously. But don't be saying the N-word in your damn comedy jokes. You're not black.
Facts. All right. So, Canelo Alvarez wins by unanimous decision. Like, I hate to say it, but it was easy work for
Canelo. Yeah, it was smooth.
I hate to say it because I like Charlo, but you know,
I do too.
We've been watching Canelo for years, man, and he is that guy, and he deserves his respect. Yes, Charlo was out of his league, went up two weight classes, really got into a fight he didn't belong in, and he held himself well for not really belonging there, but look, still a good win for Canelo, man. He looked much better than he has in years, in my opinion. It's been years, because he looked like he was in decline from the Billy Joe Saunders fight to me. I know he won that fight by knockout, but he didn't look right there to me early on. He definitely didn't look right in the Caleb Plant fight. Me and Mikey had him losing until he gassed out. And then just from there, man, he was going downhill, and he talked about injuries. And, you know, of course I'm going to dismiss that, because every fighter, when they lose, talks about being hurt, right? You know, Pacquiao talked about, you know, his shoulder or something like that when he got embarrassed by Clyde Mayweather. Well, you know, fighters talk about that stuff all the time, and I do know fighters go into fights injured. You know, they say that's a part of the sport. I still want to hear it. You know, I still want to hear it because, you know,
don't take the fight.
Well, I mean, he talked about that in the Bivol fight. Okay, fine. But then you went and fought Triple G, and like B said, yeah, you won, but you didn't look you look like Vince's Canelo, and then you go fight John Ryder, and you didn't look great there either. So, you know, like this is going on a couple years now, but he looked right tonight. He looked right tonight. So salute to him, man. And you know, we'll see what's next for him. And Charlo, you can go back down to 154. Whatever you're gonna do, and I think the future's bright for him as well. You know, I think you got two guys that did a fight, and they sold. I'm sure they sold a lot of pay-per-views, and they both made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, that undercard though, that Lubin fight robbery is one of the worst I've ever seen. Chris Wright says it can't be worse than Dale Hoyer versus Pernell Whitaker. Yes, it can.
Yeah.
It was definitely worse than that. Sweet Pea got robbed, no doubt. But there are people that watch that fight and could make an argument that De La Hoya won, or it was close. There was no argument in this fight. No. Lubin did not win. Right? When the announcers can't even say wow or whoa, they're just sitting there like, did he say Ramos or Lubin? Right, like, you know what I'm saying?
Except when they give Julio Cesar Chavez the draw against Sweet Pea.
The biggest robbery, well, it wasn't a robbery because he still won, was Mayweather and Canelo. When one of the judges had a draw. I don't know what you're watching.
Okay. Well, I mean, to be fair, the B-roll fight, that was one round away from a draw, and Canelo didn't win a single round in that fight.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I mean, the Bivol fight reminded me of the Areola Ruiz fight, where Ruiz won 10 of the 12 rounds, yeah. and then at the judges' scorecard, someone told Areola that, and he was like, "What? You won 10 rounds? What?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, he beat your ass. What do you mean, what? Like, he beat you down. He whooped your behind, Chris." You know, and then he's like, and then he just starts cussing in the ring, and he's like, "This is bullshit. Fuck this, man. Fuck this." And Ruiz is just like, Andy Ruiz is just like standing there, like just quiet, and he's like, "Can I leave? Can I get here?" And they're just like, "No, I didn't lose 10 rounds." Like, "Yeah, you did. Shit, you lost 11 in my book, but sure, we'll give you 2."
Yeah. Well, all right, we've been going for an hour. That is it. Okay, we'll be back. We're going to provide some more content for you guys. We promise. We've been gone for a little while. But we've been, trust me, even though you haven't seen us or heard from us, we've been discussing things and working on some things behind the scenes. So stay tuned. Stay subscribed. Okay. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you're new. All right. We come back with more content. Ferris, let the people know where they can find you.
Let's get ready, network. The highlights. Every Friday, 3:00 Pacific, Good Friends, Better Rivals. We talk American football, me and Caleb, as well as also on our Let's Get Ready Network, the entertainment channel, 8:00 Pacific, the open table. Me and Adelia have a show where we talk, you know, free flowing conversation. We may have some guests and maybe just us two, as well as 9:00 Pacific, Wednesdays, KSFS Radio. I got something to say. Award winner right here. You name it. Award-winning radio program, I Got Something to Say. 9:00 p.m. Pacific, 12:00 Eastern. We get crazy late night.
Christian, who are you talking about? He says Carlo will win. Charlo has the size, but Canelo has the athleticism. Charlo, the fight's over.
The other one?
Maybe he
said Canelo.
He said Canelo will win.
Yeah,
he meant
Canelo, yeah.
So uh-huh. Canelo will win. Canelo already won.
Maybe
he was right.
Huh?
Then he was right.
Yes, you're right.
You're right.
You're right. Yes, you're right.
Maybe it's not playing live where he's at.
Oh, damn.
He's in the Philippines, right?
Did we spoil it for you?
Y'all just spoiled it for me.
Wait, this is a post-fight reaction video. You know what you're getting when you click on it?
Yeah, we don't
know. Which fight?
Will G, there's the Fury and Ngannou in October, and then Shakur Stevenson November 16. You know, it's not a big fight. And I think that's a Thursday.
Usyk and Fury is probably the next like real big fight. Yeah. And that's slated for late December currently.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say Haney and Regis Prograis is the big fight, I guess.
Why does Regis Prograis sound like an accountant?
Tank is going to be fighting. Tank said he's going to be fighting at the top of the year in 2024.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a big fight. His trainer kind of teased it. We'll see. You know, some are speculating it could be against Teofimo Lopez. That would be huge.
Did Carmel? Did y'all see Carmel Moulton's fight? No. I wanted to see it, and I can't find any clips of it.
I think you had to look on Twitter for that.
I looked on Twitter. I couldn't find any clips of his fight.
Try X.
Well, who's Carmel Moulton?
Formerly known as Twitter, I should say. New prospect. He made his debut tonight.
He is Floyd Mayweather's protege.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Wait. Did he fight on this card?
No.
Yeah, man. Does he have a deal?
I bet you 2K Canelo wins.
Does he?
Can y'all see my screen?
What deal is he on? Is he on Showtime?
Can y'all see my screen?
He's not on.
He's with Money T.
Yeah, what's the deal with?
He's with the money team.
No, I know. I'm talking about like, is it DAZN? Is it Showtime? Is it like I'm asking?
PBC.
PBC. Thank you.
Is this
it? Fuck you yelling at me for?
Yeah, that's him.
So it's an Instagram live.
There's somebody on the front row. Just.
It wasn't part of the. It wasn't part of the broadcast.
Oh, that's why. Okay, that's why.
So Carmel Moulton, 17 years old. This is his debut fight. He stopped the guy.
Oh God. Oh my God. Holy. What? Whoa.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
That ref was really considerate.
So yeah.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
So wow. Now you've seen it. Yeah, so that's somebody we'll be talking about down the road, I'm sure. You know,
who's that baby with Floyd? Is that his grandson?
Dude just had a baby
with him.
Sorry, Christian.
Way to go, y'all.
We apologize.
The stream says Canelo Alvarez versus Jermell Charlo post fight reaction.
Maybe he thought we were gonna be like live streaming during the fight and then giving our reactions afterwards when it was over.
Well, you know what, Christian? You know. I will not apologize because
Ferris is a bad person.
Yeah,
because
you're.
I'm not a bad person. I'm sorry. Like you read the title.
An apology costs you nothing, Ferris.
Yeah, enjoy the watching.
Yeah,
but being right costs me everything. I'm right.
You're not right.
Read.
Now, Christian, this can work in your benefit. I don't know if they have you can bet or
Mike. We don't need video evidence for this. Mike, we don't need video. Oh my God, you have video evidence.
Put 10,000 on Canelo if you can right now. Okay, and then you will thank us later.
10,005.
Why is it delayed in the Philippines? Aren't y'all a boxing loving nation? I'm very confused here.
I'm guessing about the time, Ferris.
Okay.
Fish, you know they have time delay stuff over here as well, right?
Really?
Jesus Christ, man.
Like what?
Like the Olympics, Ferris.
Olympics, you know.
That's a good point.
Depending where they're playing.
The World Cup's always last.
Not always.
We just made Christian a rich man.
There you go.
Oh man, I was like, 10, 000, I remember
10,000 on Canelo.
I remember watching fencing at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's great. Great story. All right. We are out of here.
Follow
us 5 o'clock this morning. I gotta go.
Follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok at Ring Kings Pod. All right. Also Patreon
at 9:30 in the morning.
I know. Patreon.com/LBHT show. That's our Patreon for this channel and our other channel, Lunch Break Hot Take, where we talk all kinds of sports. In fact, we've been talking a little boxing on there too in the Combat Corner segment. So you can get a little fix of boxing over there as well. All right. But go subscribe over to Lunch Break Hot Take if you like this conversation, you want to see more, because we'll be doing a post game stream. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. We might do a post game stream tomorrow. For the Ravens and Panthers, definitely next week. But Wednesday is our main show, the LBHT show, where we cover all different types of sports. So go and check it out. But all right,
you hear that, people? Post game, after the game has already happened.
Hey, Christian, holler at us if you need some. You know,
you
need the info before it gets to you.
Facts. B, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. We are out of here. Yes. We will see you next time. Peace.
I probably won't, because I'm probably dead.